Now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is masculine pursuits. Each of my guests falls into one of three categories: beer, football, or women. My next guest is a former Playboy model who hobnobbed with Hugh Hefner and other celebrities. We'll relive the 70s through her memoir, Playboy, Celebrities, and Me in the Swinging 70s. And if you want to join in the conversation, or if you have a memory of the 70s yourself, you can give us a call at 639-0008. And that's the same number that you'll use to call in if you want to win four sandwiches or four salads from Urbane Cafe. Two locations to service, one here in Ventura at 4350 Telephone Road in the Barnes & Noble Plaza, the other in Oxnard at 1730 East Gonzales Road, the intersection of Rose and Gonzales. I'll give that away to the fourth caller at 639-0008, 639-0008. Call in, and the sandwiches or the salads can be yours just in time for lunch. My next guest, Diane Dorman, got married, had a son after graduating from high school in Orange County, California. She divorced and had a heartbreaking romance with an all-star California Angel baseball player. Then she struck out on her own and headed for Hollywood, despite advice from her friends to the contrary. She happily spent the 70s with the Playboy modeling agency, which opened a lot of doors for her and sparked her interest in fashion. Diane eventually moved to Florida, where she opened up the women's trendy clothing boutique, Nantucket Bay, which later morphed into the eclectic boutique Dyes Dazzle. Joining us from Florida, Diane, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing, Billy?
Well, terrific, and it's a privilege to have you on the show. Thanks so much for being my guest today. Now, this is something that every listener imagines. When they think about the Playboy Mansion in Holmby Hills, you know, we have these visions of what goes on there, but you've actually been there. You know what it's like. So pull back the curtain for us. Give us a glimpse. What's it like inside the Playboy Mansion, particularly during the go-go 70s?
I had a feeling you were going to ask that. It's awesome when you pull up to the gate and the two black iron gates part and you drive up the windy driveway, and right away you feel special. And then you walk through the big oak door into the foyer, and everyone you look at is beautiful. Of course, this was in the 70s. I don't think anything's changed, but it was awesome. And the men that were invited were either Hefner, old buddies from the old days, or they were, or they're famous celebrities. If you were just a regular guy, you were not there. So you guys would have loved it because you would have seen nothing but women that were just gorgeous.
Oh, man.
Roaming the halls.
No, that is great. Well, Diane, was it really sex, drugs, and rock and roll as we all imagine?
Okay, there was very little drugs. Actually, I saw none. I attribute that to the fact, even though it was big in those days, Hef had gotten in trouble with a secretary that they framed, and they were trying to bring him down in Chicago, and it didn't work out, and they realized they were wrong, but he was very against that because they were looking for something to be happening at the mansion, and it wasn't. So if the drugs were there, I never saw them.
Hmm. Well, that's good to know. So no drugs, just some sex and rock and roll then, right?
Yes, sex and rock and roll. That weekend, which reminds me, it was a three-day party, and he was filming for an ABC special that was going to be aired, and he invited those of us that were his favorite guests. And we started out in the pool and in the jacuzzi, and I remember Arnold Schwarzenegger standing there all oiled up, looking like a muscle guy with girls hanging all over him. And then later that night, our entertainment was the Village People.
Wow.
So I said, Hef, we should do this all the time.
Well, that's amazing. Icon of the 70s, the Village People. That's a perfect band to be having for this image, this picture that you're painting. Now,
I was hoping for the Bee Gees the following weekend, but it didn't happen.
Ah, there you go. Can't have everything. My guest is Diane Dorman. Diane, in that last answer, you said you were one of his preferred guests. So you were on the A-list with Hugh Hefner. Mm-hmm. What moved you on to the A-list?
The only thing, well, first of all, the question I've been asked over the years more than anything else was, how do you even get on the list? I'm not exactly sure, but once you're observed and seen there, I was going with Hugh O'Brien, so I was there a few times with him. Then I was invited by some other friends, and one time Hef came up, no, he sent his secretary over to my girlfriend and I and asked for our phone numbers and our names. And from then on, we were on the guest list that we could be invited every week to go up to watch the Sunday movie. But over the years, somehow I advanced to a VIP guest list. And the reason I knew I was on that list is because when they had the closed circuit fight and they had only enough seating for all the big famous icon men, they would only allow a few women to be on that list and be invited, and I was always one of them. So I think it was because I had something to say, you know? I wasn't just a dumb blonde. It has to be that.
All right. Well, no, that's very good. My guest is Diane Dorman, author of the book Playboys, Celebrities, and Me in the Swinging 70s. Diane, I want to ask you, kind of now that you're 30-plus years removed from that, in what ways did the Playboy Mansion and what went on inside of there reflect the 1970s, and in what ways did it shape the 1970s?
It was such a happy time. When I finished writing my book this last year, it just brought back so many happy memories of just being yourself. You just felt free. You could just do whatever. And there was something about the mansion that felt very comfortable, because I was very intimidated the first time I went, and I had to go by myself because you can't just show up with friends until they get to know you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very scary. And then after a while, just going, oh, we had something to look forward to on Sunday. We knew that we were going to have a good dinner and watch a film, and it was like a family. It was small and intimate, maybe 50 of us in the living room watching the film. Now, holy guacamole, it's out of control. There's hundreds of people, and when he has the private parties, the Midsummer Night's Dream, I don't think it's even at the mansion. I think he has it at a hotel somewhere. It was more intimate. It was close family, nice, you know. Although there was the grotto.
Now, the grotto. Let's talk about the grotto, because everybody mentions the grotto. You've been there. Yeah. Tell us what that is like.
Okay. Well, I was guilty of going out there once with Jimmy Kahn's brother. But what normally was going on is most of us would be inside having dinner and going into the living room to watch the film. But Warren Beatty, for one thing, would always be in the hallways, but the minute the movie started, out the door he was. You never saw him all night. So what they were just going out to the grotto for a friendly little get-together. And there was baby oil everywhere and towels, and it was the waterfall and the music's being piped in. And so that was one side. Then on the other side was little cave-like rooms. And that's where I guess you could do anything else you wanted to do.
Oh, my. It staggers the imagination what you could do back in the 70s, doesn't it?
I know.
My guest is Diane Dorman. And Diane, in your book, it's very funny. You claim that you were part of one of baseball's greatest trades in all of history. What's your connection to the American pastime? How did you individually spark one of the greatest trades in baseball history?
Well, it's interesting, I tell you. I was involved with Jim Pergosi for a year. And Gene Autry's wife, Gene Autry on the team, the Angels, and she said I was distracting him because I got to the ballpark late usually, and he was shortstop, so he missed a few plays. What can I say? Hot pants and, boots were in style then. So, you know, when you march into your seat at the Angel Stadium, I don't know, sometimes you cause disruptions.
I see.
So they decided they pretty much had it with him, and so they traded him to the New York Mets for Nolan Ryan, which turned out to be one of the top five best baseball trades in the history of baseball, and it's because I distracted him. And how I know that is a fact is because about 6 months after that trade happened, I was in the jacuzzi at the Gene Autry Hotel. Why, I don't know. I was just by myself. And across from me, some guy hitting on a girl. There were just three of us out there. And I heard him say to her, I'm down here writing Gene Autry's biography, and I asked him what's the hardest thing he ever had to do. And the writer's telling this strange girl that he's trying to pick up, oh, when I had to trade Jimmy for Ghosty, he was like my son. So then I lifted up my hat and I went, hello. He goes, oh, it's you. And I go, what are the odds of this happening? Then I went to the bookstore when the book came out, and I looked it up to see what it said, and said, he had personal problems. So I guess that was me.
No, you were the personal problem.
I was the personal problem, and I didn't go to New York with him because I didn't want to go to be stuck in a little apartment, so I went to Hollywood instead.
I see. My guest is Diane Dorman, author of the book Playboy Celebrities and Me in the Swinging 70s. And you've already mentioned that you knew Hefner. You were on the A-list there. What is Hef like as a person?
Oh, he is so fabulous. I'm glad you asked that. He is, honest to God, the most genuine, down-to-earth, and gracious person I have ever met. He was never a boyfriend of mine, but I was there as a friend. And I watched how he just interacted with these strange people that are coming to the door and coming through the house. He just made everybody feel at home. And back in the 70s, he was quite shy. He was quite reserved. He actually never left the house. He didn't go to the club. He stayed home. We all came to him. He called it his Shangri-La. He didn't see the point of going out. And I don't believe that even started until he, had all those little posse of blondes that needed to go out. So then that was a whole other situation for him. But he saw no reason to leave the house.
I see. And you were known as going around with Hugh O'Brien at the time. In fact, that's what got you into the Playboy Mansion in one of your earlier visits there. What was Hugh O'Brien like?
He was the most boring person I've ever met.
Wow.
One of the cheapest, and had no personality. And it was all a facade. That's why dating the rich and famous is not all it's cracked up to be. I saw smiles on his face when we would be in Vegas, and he would hope to be recognized. But in private, nothing. Zippo.
Zippo, huh? Wow. Well, that's amazing. Now, you tell some amusing stories in your book, too. You tell one on the late George Burns, which is kind of funny.
God.
Tell us about that.
I can't. It's too risque. You have to buy the book. But it will blow your mind. That little sweet-looking man with the little black glasses is not what you think he is.
Well, now, it's interesting because there are reports that he was quite the womanizer, particularly after Gracie died. Is that the experience that you had with him?
Yeah, well, he tried. It didn't work with me. So I became his friend and got to be, his escort to quite a few big deal parties because I could remember the names of the big stars that were there that wanted to speak to him. And I would whisper, oh, there's Sean Connery or that's so-and-so. But I thought, okay, he's fine. I passed on the offer. That was unbelievable the way he put it. And I introduced him to my roommate, and she came running into my bedroom one night and woke me up, screaming at me about what he tried with her.
Oh, my.
I said, you're kidding. This is a little old man.
My guest is Diane Dorman, and we're talking about Blast from the Past, her time in the 70s, from her book Playboy Celebrities and Me in the Swinging 70s. Diane, the 70s were a decade of turmoil because there was the women's movement that was just becoming big in the United States. As a Playboy model, you were the antithesis of what the feminists thought. Did you have any confrontations with feminists or that were upset about your lifestyle that you were leading at the time?
No, we were pretty much all in the same boat. I actually never saw anybody that wasn't gorgeous and beautiful. And I remember doing a commercial out of town one time, and I called my mother and I said, wow, I was watching them clear out this theme park so we could do our shoot, and I didn't see anybody good looking. And she goes, Diane, you don't live in the real world. It is the real world. And I went, oh. So everybody that I ran into would be on an interview or at the mansion or at a private club, so I didn't see any outsiders. That town is pretty small. It's not, what you think.
No, I guess
but,
it's...
I'm resentful now that women are letting men just walk all over them. This battered housewife thing, and all this plastic surgery. This is ridiculous. It was better in the 70s. At least we had some individuality. Can you even pick what blonde is what blonde now? They all have the white hair. They all have the same size boobs. Who are these people?
Well, it's a tough choice, but given the choice, I'm sure that I could probably find a way to differentiate between them. My guest is Diane Dorman. Diane, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Playboy Celebrities and Me in the Swinging 70s?
don't go to Hollywood.
Don't go to Hollywood. Probably sage advice right there. Diane, if people are intrigued, they want to learn the George Burns story or some of the other stories that you tell in the book, where would you have them go on the internet to learn more about you, learn more about the book?
My website is Playboy Celebrities and Me. And it's also available on Amazon.
And here in Ventura at our own Bank of Books, two locations to serve you, 748 East Main Street and 2682 East Main Street, both in Ventura. Diane, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
It's been a blast. Thank you, Billy.
Thank you.